And I'm happy to come your way from the studios of East Legon Worship Center, El Walk, where God walks and works. One of the things that I'm very much interested in is to look at the story, maybe not a story, but the phenomenon of success. You know, sometimes as young people, we are very much fascinated about what success is. When I was growing up, when I heard people saying that I'll buy a car, I'll buy an airplane, I'll buy a train, and all those things, I thought you could just walk, you know, to any place at all, pick some money in your hand, and then pay and pick. These things were seen as commodities that you could just walk to places and take. And these were things that we were very much concerned about. And when I grow, so I could tell your mom, when I grow, I'll buy you this. And I'd like to just share some thoughts on success with you. First, success is not just an impartation. You don't just move somewhere and then tell somebody, place your hands on me, I want to be successful. I am not denigrating the role of the divine in becoming successful. But if that were the case, then number of religious people would have been successful by now. That's not the point. Success is calculatedly created. Success belongs to that man and that young woman, that young man, and that person who sits down to plan and says, I want to do this, and manages all other things around, seeking information, ideas to execute that vision. Success is not a magical product. No. It is calculated effort at executing a desired agenda. That's what it means. And so when people are very haphazard and disordered, they don't care what happens, and they do things anyhow and expect to get unexpected positive results, that does not happen. And so young men and women who want to become successful in life should understand this first principle. It is calculated, passion-filled, effort-driven attempt at executing a certain agenda. So when you want to execute that agenda, you know that you are on the path to execute the agenda for success. You see, the successful people you see today, once upon a time, they were on the same track with those who have failed. So failure and success, once upon a time, were on the same track. I like to just picture sprinters who are about to do 100 meters lap. And then the whistle goes. On your mask, get set, and then it goes. Then both of them, or all of them, will just sprint, get up, and everybody is seeking to be the first among the competitors. But at the end of the lap, one person emerges. Sometimes they use just, you know, they stretch themselves a little bit to just use their head or one step, and they become the winners. But I like to just look at it from this angle again. The one who became successful in this lab, once upon a time, maybe was second, was third, was fourth, was fifth. In fact, maybe was the last. But this time, he is the first. What happened? What happened was that he shifted his focus from that losing mentality to begin to look at what makes successful people successful. And so perhaps he increased his or her training regime. Maybe he got up at very odd times when others are enjoying their comfort zones and went out to train. Remember, success is not a magical product, but calculated, effortful, passion-filled step in executing an agenda. As I want to share maybe three quick principles to lift you from where you are and the feeling that I'm not going to make it. I am talking to you that you can make it. First, you must be able to identify your own efforts in the success agenda. What is the effort you're making? Nobody drives you to be successful. No. You can be grateful to what others have done to you. You can bless God for their lives. You can go and thank them because they nudge you, they encourage you, you know, they pray for you, they sow seeds into you. But I can tell you something. After all that they did, if you did not act on their goodwill, your success agenda and step will have been a cost-90 work. So examine your own role in your own life. What is your commitment? What is your strength? How committed are you to this very vision you have? Are you committed? Until you are very passion-filled for something, to the extent that when you are sleeping, you are dreaming about it. When you are sleeping, you are thinking about it. You don't believe it. You don't believe it. I have seen something about a successful people. Their interest in becoming who they want to become is so strong. Their commitment is unbreakable. So what is your role? Are you that lazy? Sitting looking into the skies? All the time wishing that something good will happen to you? Have you heard that statement? If wishes were horses, beggars will be riding in the air. So don't just sit and wish. Wishes will not take you to the next level. Only actions. What is your role? Now the second principle I want to draw your attention to, which is very powerful and helps you in your agenda and in your drive and path to become what God wants you to be, is that principle of knowing how to organize resources around you. And as far as I'm concerned, one of the most powerful resources in your life is the person who is around you. In the same way, one of the most powerful liabilities that can impede your progress in life is that person who is around you. You cannot ignore the double-edged role of friends and men and women around you. No. Some of them can really help. Some can be a blessing in your life. And others can pull you down. Who is your friend? I am sure you have heard about the law of association. You become like who you associate with. So who is your friend? Who do you talk to? Who do you engage with? Who do you relate with? Who do you share your thoughts with? I have heard some pundits indicating that don't tell your vision to people. They'll kill it. That is not true. The truth is this. Don't speak about your vision to the wrong person. They'll kill you. But if you have the right person around you, who is the right person? Let me tell you something. If you are a believer, anybody who fears the Lord and is around you as a friend and fears the Lord, loves the Lord, whoever loves the Lord will be challenged to love his neighbor. So look for lovers of the Lord. That young man who is around you, that young lady, that brother, that elder, that deacon, that friend, that boss, who is all the time seeking your welfare, checking on you, how far have you gone? So check your life and who is around you. Listen carefully. If your life is not positively influenced by those around you, the opposite is just true. It is going to be negatively influenced by those around you. It's as simple as that. That is what it is. If they cannot influence you positively, they can influence you negatively. So who is around your life? And who do you respond to? Is that a friend? When he speaks, you get up. Is he inspiring you? Break off if he's not. And if he's inspiring you, speak to him the more. That is the law of success, driven by the principle of association. And finally, I want to ask you one question. How ready are you to get up when you face a challenge? Mishap can be the energy that drives you to the next level. And every mishap that comes your way, for successful people, they know how to turn the energies in them around. Why did you allow that challenge to bring you down? Rise up. Get beyond that challenge. Because listen, a mishap is a necessary aspect of the successful path you are currently treading. It's part of it. So get up and look at the mishap in a redemptive mode. See it as a challenge to learn how not to do the things the way you did it. I like you to understand that as far as you are a believer, as I am, all things work together for good. And I wish you the best in these three principles. Remember that you are moving to the next phase of life. Grace to you. And I'll see you at the top. And don't forget that whoever became successful once upon a time was looking at failure, staring at him, but took his eyes off and began to look at what he can do. Grace to you. I'll come your way again. Bye-bye.